Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. I just got my voice back from Sunday's amazing 12-hour live broadcast to benefit Give Kids the World. Thanks to your generosity, we brought in over $28,000 for the amazing folks at Give Kids the World in just 12 hours this past Sunday. So thank you so much to each and every one of you who were a part of this amazing day. We cannot thank you enough. You put smiles on the faces of families that really need it. So thank you, thank you, thank you again. Today's listener question show is a little bit different. We recorded this one live and took your calls and took questions live from Facebook during the 12-hour live show. So this is a very timely podcast. You may even hear yourself on today's show. But of course, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that we only have 154 days to go until it's time to get a little dopey down at Walt Disney World for Marathon Weekend 2018. You can count down the days just like I do with great pictures. You can customize the app, put the colors you like, and more. Even get audio alerts. Just drop by virtualmickey.com today and download Days to Go WDW.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1205 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, or if you are listening live as we're recording this, happy Sunday, because we're live. This is a different kind of show because we're recording this one live during hour number 5 of the 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World. We have already raised over $7,000 for the great folks down at Give Kids the World today as we record. And remember, you can keep donating even if you're listening here on Wednesday. Just go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com and there's a donation link. We'll keep that live throughout this week so you can add on to the miracles that are happening down in Kissimmee, down at Give Kids the World Village. But we're here today with a special live listener question show. We're going to take our questions live from the Facebook group and even sneak in some phone calls as well for the next 45 minutes or so. So joining me today for this live recording of the podcast for your Wednesday, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, welcome to hour number 5. How's it going?
I should say happy Wednesday to those of you who are listening on Wednesday, and happy Sunday to those of you who are listening on Sunday. So excited to be here, excited to be raising money for Give Kids the World, and excited to answer your listener questions.
So. That's right. And this will be fun because everything's going to be live, so we don't know anything what's coming in. So
we do not.
We're going to be doing that. Joe is in the chat, so thanks, Joe. He is our folk. He's our person who takes care of virtualmickey.com, the founder, the president of those apps. So he's in our chat. So thanks, Joe, for always sponsoring the podcast here on a Wednesday. Hope you enjoy every show. And thanks for supporting everything. So also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. How's it going, Pam?
Happy Wednesday, everyone. And I'm so glad to be part of the fundraising again this year. This is actually my favorite thing that we do as a community. So just so honored to be here, so proud of our community. It's just a very cool thing. And we're on with our Wednesday show. You guys get a little glimpse. Usually, I will just say, it's a little more frenetic here in the beginning, right? We're either like laughing and chatting about stuff that we've been meaning to talk about for a while,
right?
Or we're like, what are we going to talk about, or whatever. So, or yes, there's something going on that we have to address. So anyways, it's just a cool little behind the scenes view. This is actually where Ricky, is that where you record typically?
I usually record from my other couch, but okay. I think I'll probably be going to this one because my internet seems to be working better over here. So.
Yeah, it does. It's working a lot better. And I'll do this for Brian. Brian, I'm popping the eyebrows a little bit.
Brian Walker.
Hi, I'm Pam Forrester. But usually, you know what's funny is it was so cool because we got to spend time together on vacation a lot, which we, although we spend a lot of time together, we don't get the opportunity to spend a ton of time together in person.
Right.
And it was really, we really just had such a great time. I, of course, I think about you all as my family. Your family is my family. It really just, I think, you know, every time we get the opportunity to do that, it's just a very cool experience. So anyways,
absolutely.
Nice to see you guys again. I missed you.
Yeah.
I missed you too.
That's what we do. We're having fun. We are family. I can tell you that, boy. We share the best and the worst sometimes on these cruises.
Seriously.
I mean,
we know everything.
The text about live PD is just fantastic now, yes. All of a sudden. So...
And I'll just leave that there. Anyway.
I'd like to see you get arrested, but you have to take your shirt off.
You have to take your shirt off.
Gets arrested, has their shirt off for some reason.
Yeah, it must be hot when you get arrested. I don't know. I don't know.
No.
All right, so today.
I think they spend a lot of time with their shirts off. So anyway.
Definitely do. All right, so to your Disney questions. Again, we're taking these live during the 12-hour live show recorded here on July 30th, 2017. First question, we're going to do this a little bit different. I'm going to let Ricky read this one since it's up on the screen and we can all see it. It's from Erica.
Okay, so Erica would like to know, she says, hi, I'm looking forward to visiting Disney Springs to do the cupcake ATM. And what else is fun for kids there from Amelia, age 9, and her mom? So, yay,
cupcake.
Amelia!
Cupcake ATM is awesome! Uh-huh. So
yes.
Just going to say, that's the best kind of ATM.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my gosh. Yes, it is. I like that one a lot.
So thoughts, Pam, what do you think for the kids? Because Disney Springs has really changed over the past 3 years.
Oh, it really has. And I will just say, first of all, the Cupcake ATM is at Sprinkles, for those who don't know, which is the new cupcake place. But I want to let people know that Sprinkles doesn't only have cupcakes. It also has awesome flavors of ice cream. And it has milkshakes where they blend a cupcake in to the milkshake, or you can get a milkshake with a cupcake on top. Hello. That's like the topping to the milkshake, a cupcake, which is the best kind of dessert. So anyways, there's a lot to do for kids. You know, I know probably your daughter likes to shop a little bit, I will just say, and there are so many great locations to do that. Of course, there is always, I always think that kids love to see the largest Disney store in the world, which is so cool. Make sure that you visit like the little Stitch that spits water at people when they walk past. I mean, I will just say that that's a pretty cool thing. And you see lots of kids really delighted with that. There's also a great Lego store. Don't know if your daughter's into Legos, but that's something that will certainly appeal to kids. There is the store that I will recommend that everyone visits, the little the Asian version of the Old Navy, as we call
yes.
it.
The Uniqlo store.
Yes.
The Uniqlo store, which also has some great Disney clothing at Disney prices, I
bought an awesome Be Our Guest shirt. Like, it says Be Our Guest on it, and it's got the characters from Beauty and the Beast. So
that's cool. That's really cool. I think it's fun to, even if you don't need to do it for transportation, to take the boat that goes through that goes to the different boat docks that are available there. In addition, if you want to spend some money, there is also the aqua cars that are available there at the boathouse. Make sure you try that out. Now, there's lots of great dining locations. We have, if you're looking for quick service, we have Blaze Pizza. We have Deluxe Burger,
yes.
Which has a great burger.
So
you already mentioned Sprinkles. Help me out with some other locations. There, the
Earl of Sandwich, if you want a traditional. Yes.
Earl of Sandwich is still there. Wolfgang Puck Express is a great and overlooked quick service location.
Now, there's one that's closing, but then there's the other one.
Right,
so
yes.
So the one that's closing is on the west side. I don't know what's going on with the other one, so they haven't really said anything about that one.
I think it's still staying open.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, there are actually two Wolfgang Puck Express and one Wolfgang Puck sit down. And I think the sit down is closing.
It's the sit down is closing.
Yeah.
That There's closes also- on the 1st of August, by the way. So
yeah.
Just Tuesday.
So,
yeah. Actually,
so anyways,
actually closed,
but I think that Disney Springs has a lot of things to offer at this point. The other thing you might want to check into is Splitsville.
That's what I was going to say.
Splitsville not only has great bowling activities, but the food is good too. We've had some great meals at Splitsville. So hopefully that gives you a few ideas.
That's it. And the thing is, what I like about Disney Springs is it's non-ticketed, so you don't really have a huge investment to be in there. So if your kid gets antsy and they're, you know, they want to go to a theme park, they want to go back to the resort and swim, whatever, bounce out. But you know what? I think your kids, just the environment, I mean, it's a unique place. There's lots to see, lots going on. And Disney Springs has really emphasized live entertainment, not only at night either. There's sometimes, we were there one day and there was a guy in that little breezeway by those, I want to say like the more expensive stores, but you know what I'm talking about, you know, where it's real nice looking. It's got the cover over by Coke or the Coca-Cola store kind of in that area. Yep. There was a dude playing a dirigible, you know, like the thing they play on Survivor, the
didgeridoo,
the dirigidoo, whatever that thing is. He was like, and I was like, that's awesome. Like it was during the day. It wasn't even at night. I was like, you know, that's pretty, I mean, maybe he wasn't Disney sponsored. Maybe he just needed somewhere to play his dirigidoo and he just popped it out and started playing it. I don't know. It was pretty sweet though. I felt like I was on Survivor. So Ricky, anything else to add to this one? We'll go to the next question.
The one thing that is always one of my favorite things is, obviously I have a sweet tooth. And so I know you mentioned going to Sprinkles, but you may also want to head over to either Goofy's Candy Company or the Candy Cauldron. They have awesome, not only do they have awesome candy apples that are like, you know, themed, really like you see at the, you know, the parks too. But they have the heavy cookie, which I know Pam and I love. My favorite thing though is actually the giant Mickey Mouse chocolate chip cookie that has the ears that are fudge dipped. Oh my gosh. Those suckers are huge. And they're like a little expensive. They're like five, like something for them. But seriously, those are huge cookies. Like I can't eat it all in one sitting. And I often take them home with me and they may get on the trip home. And that's my snack for a couple days after I get back from Disney as a, oh, you're home. But here's a Disney snack. So you might want to try that.
That's awesome. We got another question. I'm trying to find it here from Sarah. And she is asking, what's our favorite off the beaten path attraction down at Walt Disney World? I would say mine. I've discovered it over the past couple of years because of Mallory. She was curious about it. Astro Orbiter, even though it's not really off the beaten path, it's kind of, well, it kind of is because it's up above basically the TTA, and but it's right there in plain sight. But I will say something, I did not get to ride this on the past trip, and we were down there for quite a long time. Scott and I noticed many times when we look on the My Disney Experience app, the wait time for Astro Orbiter was in the top five attractions on property.
Wow.
And I don't know why that is all of a sudden. I mean, I know it's slow loading and it's low capacity, which I get. Yeah. But I mean, it was up there higher than Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and, you know, things like Expedition Everest. Because now you can see like resort wide your list of attractions and their wait times. And it was, you know, one time we looked, it was number two on property, like Astro Orbiter. Are you kidding me? But I like it because the views, it's just it's a fun attraction. It goes really fast. It's like Dumbo on steroids. And I like riding in the rockets. So what about you, Ricky? Something off the beaten path.
So, I am of course going to say my favorite, which is Tom Sawyer Island. This has become one of my favorite off the beaten path, places to go, because, you know, because you have to take the boat over there, not everybody goes over there. The pathways are usually pretty quiet. There's, a couple of rocking chairs that I like to sit on. Actually, they did a weird thing recently where they moved the rocking chairs. So they had two that were together and now one of them is one place and another one of them is in another place. And I don't know why they did that because I'm tempted to carry the rocking chair over from the one place and over, yeah, over to the place where I want it. But I don't think Disney would really like that. So, so last time I think I just sat on Brian's lap, but, yeah. So, there's that. So they asked one in each park, so I'll go with, and it's not really off the beaten path, but it is off the beaten path, and that's one of my favorite rides is in Epcot is the, you know, Grand Fiesta Tour, which, you know, is not like you wouldn't think that that's off the beaten path, but so many people don't go on that ride that there's usually never a line for it. So I love to get to go on the Grand Fiesta Tour. At Hollywood Studios, it's hard because there's not as many attractions over there anymore. So, I don't know that I can pick one. You know, you've got, you know, One Man's Dream, which I think is, you know, the overall what you should do as a, you know, an attraction anyway. And at Disney's Animal Kingdom, so we did Rafiki's Planet Watch actually recently. And, I think if you haven't ever been over there, you should definitely head over there and take a look. So those are my options.
We have a call. Let's grab this call, Pam. We'll get to yours here in just a sec. caller joining us. But before, here's the deal. Before you get to ask your question, what is your favorite? Well, first of all, who is this? And then what is your favorite off the beaten path attraction at Walt Disney World? Nope. Caller, are you there? Oh, I didn't hit the button. Oh, now I hit the button.
Oh, no.
Hey, caller, how's it going? Who is this? Hey, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yes. Who is this?
Hey, it's Josh. How's it going?
Good. Hey, Josh. How you doing?
How are you?
Doing okay, guys. Pam, Ricky, it's a pleasure to get to talk to you as well.
Absolutely.
Hi, thanks for calling.
My pleasure. I think to answer your question of off the beaten path attraction, I don't know if Carousel Progress counts because it's kind of tucked away, but
yeah,
I would totally go with
Carousel
Progress.
I think it does, and I think a lot of people don't know what it is either. I think that's another thing for Carousel Progress. They're always like, "What is that?" So yeah, absolutely.
Well, for those that don't know, they should definitely check it out, I think. But my question is, so Mike, as you and I, we were discussing the other day, I have an upcoming trip, my first night of the trip. I don't have a dinner reservation yet, and my brother and I, we were looking to go to a resort. So I was looking, what would be your best recommendation for a table service dinner?
All right, I'll throw that out to Pam first. Table service restaurant at a resort, what are you saying?
So I will say there's so many that are my favorites, but I really recommend Kona a lot for a couple of reasons. First of all, we've always had great food there. But secondly, because after you're done eating, it is so nice to walk the grounds at Kona. It's just a great experience. You can see the castle from the beach. It has a great pool area that you'll be able to see from outside that space. It has those gaslit tiki torches. And there's just really something about the Polynesian, I think, that is just so quintessential Disney that you won't want to miss that. But there are also great table service locations at just about every deluxe and moderate resort. And the other place I'm going to name is Olivia's over at Old Key West, yes, because we've just had great food there lately. They've changed their menu a little bit. If you ask them, some of the menu items are still available, but it's a great location and great food too.
All right, awesome. Ricky, you want to throw something in real quick? I'm going to say Whispering Canyon at the Wilderness Lodge because I know you're going to say it.
No, I actually wasn't, but that's a good choice. Go I like it. So along the same lines, though, you do a Trail's End, which is always very good. But that was not my option. That was not what I was going to choose. I was going to choose Sanaa over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's so yummy. You've got the bread service that's over there. And you would not think that you would get very full on bread and dips, but trust me, you get super full on breads and dips. But there's also my favorite thing in the entire world, so much so that I have started making it at home, and that is butter chicken. It's so good. So, Sanaa is definitely my choice. It's fantastic.
All right, Josh, does that help? Is that something you might think about?
That absolutely helps. I'm going to be going to look for dinner reservations probably once I hang up with you guys. If I may mention, I'm looking forward to airing your interview this Tuesday.
Yes, so tell everybody where they can hear it. We talked Disney. You actually recorded that yesterday, but it's going to air on Tuesday. So where can people check that out?
Of course, you're going to be going TuneIn.com, keyword OWR. Myself, my friend Katie, Mike, we got a chance to interview you for our radio show, Infinity and Beyond Radio. So, Mike, again, it was a pleasure speaking with you then. Pam and Ricky, it was a pleasure speaking with you guys today.
Thank you so much, Josh.
I was glad
to be on the show, and we'll have to do it again shortly. So you have a good Sunday, and thanks for calling in. Great question.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for calling in.
All right, we got another caller. I like this. We don't have to read anything, but we'll get to the ones in the chat too. We're going to try to make this work. We might have to do this later in the show. You know, maybe do a second show and get out of work next week too. Anyway, joining us on the line, who do we have?
Nope. Mike, push the button.
Call back, and we'll get you on the show here because I know we had two or three people calling in at the same time, which is always a good problem to have.
It is.
All right, well, let's answer this question here. Let's pop this one up. It's kind of a long one.
I do want to answer the question that somebody else had. Where do I get my recipe for butter chicken? It's really simple. Here's what you do. Go to Target. They have butter chicken in a jar. that's the sauce. That's what I use. And I just put slice up chicken, pour the sauce in. Done. Easy.
Target. All right, Pam, can you read Megan's question? Because I can't quite see it from where I'm at.
Absolutely. Okay. Mission Space is reopening soon. I'm excited to hear they are making the changes to the ride as my husband gets bad motion sickness. My question is, do we know any other specifics other than it will now be a more subtle ride? And for that new green version, will the height be 40 inches? The original is 44. Also, with Fast Pass, do we get to choose green or orange once we arrive there? We really don't have any other information on this other than they're making the changes. We hear that it will be easier for guests. I think it was a little intense. To give a little history on this attraction, when they first opened it, it was a lot intense.
I would always say all the time. It was. There was really no green version at all. It was just...
a lot of guests were having challenges with it. I mean, they experienced, let's say, extreme motion sickness for that. So, anyways, but we do not have details on what this will be like afterwards.
The only thing that I can see is the new mission. The height restriction has changed to 40 inches. And it's courtesy of new additional X2 booster seats.
Yeah, I saw
booster seats. I'm guessing they're going to have a seat that they'll put in if you're under 40, but under 44 inches, so that it'll prop you up a little bit, so that if you're in that 40 to 43 inch area, you're going to be able to fit well.
Right, and I don't think that that's what I think. That's why I think that it will change. That it's changing in height restriction, not that it's actually going to be less in. Intense in that space. They're going to still have the two experiences, the green and the orange.
Right.
So I think that one will still continue to be, more intense. But
yes,
I think that a lot of people can do the green. It doesn't, I don't even know that the green spins, correct?
No, it doesn't. It more moves.
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't have that same experience that people with, who have challenges with spinning will have.
The orange version is kind of like the carnival ride that, spins you around. Yep.
And
then you get pushed back against the wall a little bit. That's the centrifugal force that they use. So if you've been on a amusement park ride like that, that's kind of what the force that they use. Whereas the green version, as far as I know, it's more kind of like the arm just moves side to side. It doesn't spin you. So that's helpful.
And from what I read yesterday too, and again, take this with a grain of salt, that the mission's going to be different on the green side in the fact that it's going to be not like on the orange side, you're actively trying to dodge debris and land on a very edge of a cliff. This is going to be, they kind of compared it to more of a Soarin' in Space, where you might do a soft flyby of the space station or go by the moon or see Earth, see the Hawaiian Islands, the Butte of Italy, stuff like that from space.
So right, exactly. For those of you who are asking as well, will you get a separate, are they doing separate fast passes for green and orange? As far as I know, they are not. They never have. Once you just make one fast pass, and once you get to the line, you decide which side you're going to go on at that time. So you just make one fast pass. So don't worry about that.
I would caution you and say that typically you do not need to use one of your fast passes for this attraction. I will just say that. Now, there's not a lot of choices for fast passes in Epcot.
Right.
So after you make your tier one selection, then absolutely go ahead and choose Mission Space unless you have other things to do. But if you're going there early in the morning, our strategy typically with fast passes is to advise guests to go ahead and make their fast pass for late morning or even later in the day and still get to the park that you want to be in the morning. If, for instance, you would go to Epcot first thing in the morning, you could go right to Test Track and get on it, no problem, and then have your fast passes for whatever else you either Soarin' or Test Track, the ones that are really challenging to experience. So,
and I'm really actually super excited for this change because I think, as they describe it, if it is a Soarin' type experience that's very gentle but has, slight motion like Soarin' does, in space, when I think of the videos I've seen, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, the HD stuff and even the ultra HD stuff lately from space. I mean, our planet is so gorgeous seeing it from that perspective, seeing the curve of the Earth with the tops of the snow-capped mountains below or the cloud structures and seeing the land masses pop out. I think it could be this could really become, it's weird, but by making it very gentle and tame, this could make this a very popular attraction. You know, this could turn around.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm hoping. Sure. I mean, because it needs something on that. You know, give us something besides Test Track Soarin'. If we had a couple other variables in there, that's going to balance things out in Future World a whole lot better. I'm excited.
Yeah, I agree. There's so much potential in that attraction. And it actually used to be like the headliner attraction for Walt Disney World. So, or for Epcot, I mean. And it was really a cool attraction. I remember when it opened. I remember the astronauts being there. It really has so much to offer. So,
yeah, I remember because I was, it came out in the summer of 2003. It came out in 2003. And that's one of the summers I was an instructor at Space Camp. And we all got the week of the 4th of July off. There was no camp that week. So we all loaded up, went to Walt Disney World to ride Mission Space, you know, to kind of tie in with working at Space Camp. And I mean, it was intense. And we were riding those multi-axis trainers, you know, those, you see those things where you spin around like on three different axes, you're upside down, you're flipping all the, we did those every day because you had to do them to certify them for the day. You had to dummy ride mm-hmm. them and we'd always take turns and that didn't bother us. But man, we got a Mission Space like, whoo, this baby cooks you, man. It was bad. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't eat before you did it or anything. You couldn't do it on an empty stomach either. That gets you too.
No. Anyway.
All right. Enough Mission Space. I'm excited for that. And August 13th, it's supposed to come out. I'm
sure soft opening. It's coming sooner rather than later. That's for sure.
All right. Here's our next question. Ricky, do you want to pop that one up? Read it.
Yes. So Sani says, what are your tips for making the most of your time in Hollywood Studios, especially with the Great Movie Ride closing? We're going down in September and have fast passes booked, but would love suggestions on how to best enjoy the park.
Good question.
Yes.
So what would you say, Pam? What would you do, especially once Great Movie Ride is out of the equation? How do you make the most of your time? How do you structure your day, I guess, at Hollywood Studios?
So I'm really going to structure my day so that I'm there in the evening because I absolutely want to catch the fireworks show. So that's my main goal to be there. I also love, I mean, there, first of all, I want to see some of the other Star Wars shows that are going on. So I'm going to plan on actually for Hollywood Studios. My day there is going to start a little later, unless I have someone who wants to do the Jedi training. And then I'm going to be there at the crack of dawn and sign up for that. So, and I might take a break in the afternoon and then come back in the afternoon and evening. But I really think that it's important to, once those schedules are out, kind of see where the shows are going to fit in. Do you want to see the Beauty and the Beast show? Are you still going to be there when the Pixar concert's going on? Are you looking to meet the Star Wars characters? Make sure that you go ahead and set aside time to do that. Are you going to eat there? It's a challenge to eat in Hollywood Studios, I will say. It's
especially not quick service.
Yes. Not a lot of good quick service locations. You have the sit-down choices, which are great. You have Brown Derby for a more elegant meal, Mama Melrose, and also 50s. I'll also put out that there, the Brown Derby Lounge is a great choice too. And great people watching for sure. It's outdoor. It's right there at the Brown Derby. They have snacks and drinks, and that's a good location too. And hello, the new place opening up at Hollywood Studios, which I am beyond excited about.
Sounds familiar. Remember when they tested this at Rider Stop? And where is it going in again at? Rider Stop. So I just think that's funny.
I thought it was going in where Starring Roles was.
No, it is going in at where Rider Stop was.
Oh, okay. Well, either way.
Yeah.
I'm just really looking forward to that. I love the idea of having, you know, a place to get snacks, place to get a beer and other drinks. I think that's great. You know, craft beer is such a huge, huge market. I think there are going to be so many people who enjoy doing that. And I think that the last incarnation of this maybe didn't appeal quite as much as this does, but I think it's a great option. So anyways, looking forward to that. And then the other things that you want to consider when doing, of course, Hollywood Studios is, Toy Story is still a big ticket item. That's absolutely going to be one of your fast passes probably. And then you can go ahead and also ride the other popular attractions there. Look, there's still plenty to do in Hollywood Studio. When I say I'm starting my day late, the only reason I'm starting my day late is I want to make sure I make it till the end. I want to make sure that I see those Star Wars fireworks, because those, in my opinion, are really worth seeing. So that's how I'd schedule my day.
True. And if you can, make sure you do get a fast pass for Toy Story Mania. I don't know because when I was there, I guess they had quite a few tour groups who had just gotten in line. And maybe this isn't so much of a problem not during the summer, but they actually closed the regular standby line for Toy Story because they had so many fast passes. So
that's wrong. You know, they shouldn't do that. They
I know. They completely closed the line for Toy Story. So if you can make, I don't think that's an normal occurrence. I think that was really because they had an influx and there were two, at least that I know of, two tour groups that had gotten in line ahead of us in the fast pass lane. So I don't know. I'm assuming that that had something to do with it. And also I think one of the
tracks was down
because they have the three tracks. So I think one of the tracks was down, cause they weren't sending people that way. And it looked like that track was closed off. And that's usually the track I think that they send people to, who are going in the standby line. So I'm not sure if that's why it was closed down or if it was closed down just cause they had a massive number of people in the fast pass line or if it was both. So
we saw every tour group in the,
try to make sure you get fast pass there.
Yeah, we saw every tour group in the history of the world while we were there. I'm just saying they were there. Sure. And by the way, I know this isn't for our Wednesday listeners, but for everybody tuned in here on Sunday, I'm now modeling the Be Our Guest podcast yellow Volt
looks good
visor.
Looks good.
Okay, so visor, if you want to keep the hair out there and get some sun, you know, you need to get some sun-kissed hair. The visor's the way to go. You can bid on it at the auction.
Hair?
I'm just saying, if you're playing like it's 1990, Pam, next questions on the screen. What do we have for Michelle? She's asking about Pandora at night.
We have a one-day park hopper planned at Walt Disney World in September. Our plan is to go to Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom. Which park would you start the day and end the day? We have not experienced Pandora at Animal Kingdom or Happily Ever After at the Magic Kingdom. Would we be missing out if we don't see Pandora at night? Oh, man, this is a really kind of a tough question. I do think the Pandora at night is really worth seeing. I mean, it's really one of the attractions is the atmosphere. And one of the attractions would be split into two. I would say one of the attractions is seeing it during the night and during the day. So it's both of them that are just so important. I don't know that I would skip being at the Magic Kingdom, though, in the evening, too. I mean, if you only have one day, can't you just fit in one more day? Just one more. Just one more day. So even if you had to get there and just do Animal Kingdom at night in the evening, like from 7 to 10 or something, that would be worth doing. But anyways, so here's how I'd schedule my day, I think. I think I would go ahead and make my fast passes for Flight of Passage because there's no way you're going to, I mean, it will just take up too much of your time if you don't do that. So go ahead. I would be there in the morning at Pandora and I would go ahead and make fast passes for Flight of Passage and then the whatever other two attractions at the Animal Kingdom that you would like to see. There's just so much to see and do there. And then I would go ahead and head over to the Magic Kingdom in the afternoon. Now, you're going to be hitting the Magic Kingdom right as lines get the longest, but they'll dwindle a little bit. And then you can see once you get there if any fast passes are still available for attractions in that space and go ahead and keep making fast passes as you can. But I think Happily Ever After is really such an incredible fireworks show that you're not going to want to miss it. So I'm going to say start Animal Kingdom and then go ahead and end at Magic Kingdom, see Happily Ever After. But you can only do that if you promise to get back soon to see Pandora at night.
There you go. I like it.
Good. All right,
there we go.
We have a caller. Let's get the caller in here. Hey, caller, who's joining us?
Hey, this is Christy.
Hey, Woody. Christy.
Hey, Christy.
This is great because I had your question queued up next in the Facebook, but hey, we don't even have to read it now.
I was like, oh, I just typed it in, but I want to call.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay, so my question is mainly what time do the boats from Wilderness Lodge start? And the reason is because I need to get from the Wilderness Lodge to the Grand Floridian by 7 a.m.
What do you think, Ricky? Is it 90 minutes before park opening for the Magic Kingdom?
No.
No? 60?
I think it's only a half an hour before park
30,
opening.
10?
Yeah.
Okay, so it sounds
like
this.
Buses.
Yeah, Uber or Lyft, it sounds like.
Uber or Lyft. Or the minivans.
Oof.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to pay $20 just for that short of a trip, but...
But look at it this way. It's an experience. It's an experience. When you're riding the minivan, still... people take your picture because you're like, you're riding in a minivan. It's pretty sweet. Yeah. So it's $20, but it's an attraction in itself. And it's a true, it's a nice,
you know, it is a little cheaper to Uber if Walt Disney's still allowing Uber. So you can always do that option as well. But
do we know what time the minivans are starting in the morning?
They told us
at 6:30.
Yeah. One of the drivers told us that they were going to run from the beginning. They were going to start at 6 a.m. and run till midnight. But we had this discussion and he kind of agreed that with Disney Springs closing at 2 a.m., I could see them pushing them back to at least then, because those people are going to need to get back to their hotels and it's best to keep them off the road because if they've been drinking or something like that. So I think the hours are still up in the air, but I would say that they're going to be, because think about it, the buses do a pretty good job of getting you to those early morning ADRs where you need to go. You know, you might have to go to a park and transfer. But I think the minivans will take that and kind of push it out maybe 30 minutes earlier, I would think, just to make it easier. But that's just a guess.
Okay. Well, I may give it a shot just for the novelty of it.
So the other thing you could do, too, is take a Wilderness Lodge does have buses available to the Magic Kingdom as well. You could take a bus over to the Magic Kingdom and then walk. It's at the Contemporary, right?
No, Grand Floridian.
No, the Grand Floridian.
Oh, it's the Grand Floridian.
Mm. Yeah.
There's not even a way for you to walk over there. So that's the tough part.
No.
And I would just see, you know, the thing I would just see is if you can ask at the concierge, because this kind of varies day to day, but you could go ahead and ask at the concierge when the early bus to the Magic Kingdom starts running and see if the monorails are available at that time too. It will just take a little bit though. Just saying.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll look into all those options. Thanks so much.
All right, Christy, thank you so much. You've been with us all morning. I appreciate it. So thanks again for the support. Thanks again.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, love this. Getting calls, questions, getting them in Facebook. This is fun. And these are all real-timely questions. Hopefully it's helping you out on your Wednesday for your real-time trip planning. Let's see here. Kyle's asking, let's pop this up here in the Facebook chat. This is a real quick one. Do we think we'll see some soft openings with the new Mission Space this week coming up? Because it opens on the 13th officially. I would say probably.
I don't know.
I
mean,
because it was such, it wasn't down that long.
Right.
I'm actually shocked.
I'm shocked that we're this far in advance.
Yes.
I mean, I tend to notice that Disney usually has more soft openings when it's a newer type of attraction. So like Pandora, they had the soft opening, meaning they had annual pass holders and cast members come in and soft open it. But with an attraction that's already set up and already not a brand new opening, just really they're switching out maybe a ride profile and also maybe a video, I don't see them soft opening more than maybe a day before, if they soft open at all. So unfortunately, I don't think you're going to, I would be happy for you if they did soft open next week. But I just don't see it happening with something like this.
All right. Looks like Mike and Jan are going to have butter chicken this week coming up. So, as he listens
to
the show, he may be having
butter
chicken.
I told you, go to Target, pick up a jar of butter chicken. It's the best one that I found. Kroger actually used to have some, too, that was really good, but they stopped selling it. So Target is where I go to get my butter chicken now.
There we go. All right. Question from Sarah. Pam, you want to take this one?
Yes. First time cruise family this November. Whoop, whoop. Yeah,
yes,
I'll say.
Awesome.
What is one thing you pack that you can't live without that may not be obvious to a first timer? I will say the one thing I pack is a little portable fan, a travel fan. Mine actually plugs into a USB port, which makes it really easy and convenient. But that's just one thing that I absolutely cannot live without. So.
How about
you guys, Ricky, Mike?
You know what I like is that travel hamper that we give out with the Magic for Less packages.
That's what I was going to say.
It's so boring. Like when you think of it, like I'm saying a travel hamper, because we had two of them this trip because we took our old one, we got a new one on the cruise. So the thing was that saved us because our room was a wreck. And at least we had a place to put the dirty clothes and keep everything sorted and like, I kept some of my sweaty ones in one and the other, because I would run every morning because I was running and stuff and Castaway Key 5K and stuff. It was a lifesaver because it helped us keep the room neat, but also when we got home, stuff was dirty clothes ready to just throw them in the machine when we got home. So something simple like that, just organizational things, I think help. Whether you go to Pam, I know you're a packing cube person. You probably there's that store that sells all the organizational stuff. I think that stuff. is of the utmost importance when it comes to a cruise, because space is efficient on the staterooms. In the staterooms, it's really nice, but you want to maximize your junk and keep it in you know, an organized fashion.
That's absolutely key. I think not just at the cruise, but also at a Walt Disney World vacation. Anytime you're sharing a small space, it's important. We bring along with us, there's kind of not only the packing cubes, but also there's little foldable bins that you can buy at different locations. We bring those along and just stick like things like toiletries and other things and put them under the sinks or up on a shelf or in a drawer. I think that there are things like that that really help you travel, that just make things more comfortable. We bring a big one actually that we stick shoes in. There's all different kinds of things like that. It's just really important to try and stay organized. I think if you keep on top of it, it gets a lot easier. I drive my family crazy, but I'm like, before we leave the room, I want things put together in a way that doesn't drive me crazy. So
yeah, Mallory says it looks like you guys don't even stay in your room when she goes to visit, because ours is just a tornado went through it. It's crazy.
It's just things that keep me, things that keep me sane, and my family has learned to deal with that. So,
all right, Ricky, what are you bringing for a first-time cruiser to think about that maybe would escape their mind right now?
All right, here's some tips. One, don't pack as much clothes as you think you're going to need.
True, I bring too much every single time.
I did it too. I did it this time. I did not need all the clothes I brought. It was stupid, especially because I ended up doing laundry in the cruise, so it ended up being silly. So don't bring as many clothes as you think. Don't bring more like swimsuits and like lounging around attire, because you don't think that you're gonna I literally lived in my lounging around attire. Like, that was the best thing ever. So make sure you bring that kind of stuff with you. A couple other things that you may not think of as first-time cruisers, going along with Mike's thing, bring the laundry hamper. Also bring laundry detergent if you can, and dryer sheets. They sell them on the ship, but if you've got them and, you know, if you've got the little pods and a laundry sheet that you can just throw in your bag, that's a little bit easy. You know, it saves you a little bit of money, so you may want to do that. Another thing for first-time cruisers, you may want to consider a lanyard. They give you lanyards when you have cruised your second time and up, because then you're a Silver Castaway Club member. But the first time, you may want a lanyard, because it's just easier, you know, when you need to grab your room key for something to get into the room or whatever. The lanyard is really handy to have. The last thing I have is magnets. So make sure you bring magnets to bling out your door with.
Yes.
A couple of reasons, because one, you'll feel left out when you're on the ship and you don't have magnets. The second reason is because if you're like, the corridors are long and everybody's room looks the same except for if you have magnets. So that's always been kind of my saving graces. I've always been able to find my room thanks to the magnets that I have brought. So
good tips. All right, let's get to another question here. And I just had it. All right, Ricky, here it is from Lisa.
Oh, well, this is pretty awesome. Okay. I hope that your girlfriend's not listening. So Lisa asks, I need help finding the right place to propose to my girlfriend at Epcot. She is more of a private person. I'd like to be in the UK pavilion. I'd like to have PhotoPass capture it, though. Any ideas? Wow.
If you're a private person, don't do it. If she's
a private person. That's terrible.
My wife would kill me. Like, if I would have done like a baseball stadium proposal on the scoreboard, I'd have been murdered.
If you'd done a baseball stadium, that wouldn't have gone well anyway.
I would have been murdered. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, and I'd have loved it. You know, I mean, shoot, I like being in front of the camera. It doesn't bother me, but she sure doesn't.
Shocking.
I've begged her for almost 10 years to come and do one episode of this podcast, because she's been on all these trips and cruises and everything. Nope, she won't do it.
Nope.
I'm like, our listeners would love you. Nope, won't do it. Nope. Anyway. What would you say, though? Because they want PhotoPass. I don't know. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, because I would do something over the top. And if you're a private person, you would not like my suggestion.
No. The only thing I can think of to make sure, like, I think that she's got a good idea with the UK pavilion. But the one thing you may want to do is try to see if you can. This is going to be hard unless you can do it ahead of time, because I don't think there's like a dedicated PhotoPass person in the actual pavilion. They have them, you know, at there is one. I do know there is one on the walkway by France, like looking at the France pavilion. But again, that's not, they put the PhotoPass photographers more in a place where people can find them, because they want people to use the PhotoPass photographers.
Right.
So it's going to be in a more public place. that you'll find a PhotoPass photographer. So if you can sneak away for a couple minutes, maybe see if you can find a PhotoPass photographer you can talk to, and see if they can sneak away for a few minutes at a specific time or something like that. They might be able to help you, or help you connect with someone who can help you with that. It's going to take a little bit of planning on the fly. But yeah, I don't think that that you can do it like with that actual PhotoPass photographer. That's not in a private, you know, that's not a public setting, I should say, because they want people to see PhotoPass photographers. So
yeah, it's the thing. What do you say, Pam? Any other suggestions for that? I would just try to grab a PhotoPass photographer, let them know what's happening maybe in 20 minutes and cross my
fingers.
That's
really what I'm going to say. You're going to have to enlist their help to see where they're going to be. I have seen PhotoPass photographers back in the garden area. You know, I think that's just what you're going to have to do to see if they're where they will be, where there's any point where you'll be able to get them. That will be your biggest challenge.
And another thing I've noticed too is you may see a PhotoPass photographer standing in one spot at one point, and then you'll walk past that spot no more than a half an hour later, and there will be no PhotoPass photographer there either. So like, there's no like rhyme or reason that I've noticed of when there's a PhotoPass photographer and when there's not either. So that's hard too.
PhotoPass photographers have to tinkle too. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Everybody tinkles.
I think
tinkles.
That's what it is.
Everybody tinkles.
Well, I had one leave on me while he was trying to take my picture in France because something happened with his camera or his foot, like the device that they used. So he was like, can you wait just a few minutes? I'll be right back. So he literally left and we stood there waiting for a few minutes before we had the picture taken. So they can leave because they have a camera malfunction or whatever. Like, you don't know why they need to leave, or they may need to tinkle. You know,
that's it. I mean, that's the polite way. When they say their camera needs to be fixed, that's a polite way of telling the guests that it's time for a little potty break. That's the Disney difference right there is what that is.
Right.
Anyway, last question of the day here for our Wednesday. Hopefully you've enjoyed this kind of different listener question show. And you know what? I'm thinking we're going to do another hour during the 12-hour show of listener questions, because these are great questions and they're very timely. So last question of the day, Pam, read it for us from Teresa.
It is, Teresa says, what are your favorite lounges for ambiance, people watching, food and drinks? Oh, Teresa,
right,
this is a good question.
This is a kind of question.
Chatted about this. Yeah, it is a my question. So my family, as I've mentioned on the podcast, tends to eat a lot at lounges because I don't really plan our trips. I'm kind of tired of helping plan the other trips. So our trips are kind of fly by the seat of your pants. And we eat a lot at the Cruise Cup. It has great food. It's right there by Yachtsman Steakhouse at the Yacht Club. It's a good location. We also spend some time in Territory Lounge, which is the lounge that is right next to Artist Point. I think that's a great location too. Has some good food. It's a nice place to, you know, go ahead and spend some time. But I think most of the deluxe resorts have a lounge that is worth checking out. Misner's over at the Grand Floridian. Lots of fun to go there. The Polynesian has the Tambu Lounge. The thing about that one is it can get really busy because you have all the folks waiting to get into Ohana with that. At the Contemporary, there is a lounge right there by Chef Mickey's. Again, that one gets kind of busy. But there's also a loungy area at the Wave, kind of near the bar there. It's kind of actually a very cool, dark, contemporary spot to go ahead and sit there. That's a good one, too. At the Boardwalk Inn, you have the Bellevue Lounge, yes, which is a great place to get some drinks. You also have at the Flying Fish, you can eat at the bar there. And there is, of course, Abracadabra, which is really unique and something that you should at least check out. But I think my favorite places, some of my favorite lounges actually are at Disney Springs. Jock Lindsay's, I think, is great. There's places to eat at the Boathouse. You can sit by the bar there. Actually, Starbucks in Disney Springs offers appetizers and wine and beer in the evenings. And that's going to be the Starbucks that's going to be located there by Splitsville. Again, another place that has a great kind of loungy place to hang out, a loungy vibe to it. Disney has done a lot in this space, kind of creating these really unique places that you're just going to want to check out. There are just too many to name, but I hope I've given you some ideas with a few of them. And some of them have really great food. Like, Mike, didn't you think the food at Cruise Cup when we ate there was great?
Oh, they have a great burger and fries. Really good. Yeah, and it's not usually too busy. It's really small, though. I mean, it could get busy easy. I could say, 50 people show up and it's full. Another one, though, that we enjoyed having appetizers one time was the bar at Sanaa. It's really dark and kind of off in a corner. But my wife and I enjoyed that. We're just, our table wasn't ready. So we went and they actually served us an appetizer right there at the bar. And it's really ornately decorated behind the bar. It's beautiful over there. You're over there to see the animals, but we enjoyed that too.
Yeah, the good one.
All right, Ricky, any suggestions before we duck out of here on this Wednesday?
I think Pam named
everyone
single
on
the
property.
I don't think I can throw in anything because I think she named them all. So
that's it. All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's live listener question show. Thank you to everybody for the questions. We're going to continue on here until 9 o'clock Eastern. Remember, the auction is still open till 7:30. So go bid. But for those of you tuning in on Wednesday, thank you so much. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And what are we talking about this week, Ricky? Is it Mission Space's return next week, or what else?
Oh my goodness, I was not ready. Hold on. You'd think after all this time I would be ready for this, but I was not. I'm going to go with that you can now do online check-in on the My Disney Experience app.
Yes.
So for those who didn't know, yes, you could do online check-in via the website. However, you could not do online check-in prior with the My Disney Experience app. Now it's very easy. You can definitely do it through the My Disney Experience app with a click of the button, and you make your room request on there if you have any. And easy peasy, 1, 2, 3, you're checked in. And then once you get to the resort, you'll put in a time that you think you're going to get there. And once you're there and your room is ready, they will text you a notification saying, hey, guess what? Your room's ready. And you can just go straight to your room. You don't have to go and check in at the front desk. So, you can do that from your phone now. Yay!
Do you guys always cheat on that too? Like, if I know I'm getting in at noon, I always put that I'm getting there at 8 a.m. just to, like, see if I can get my room ready when I'm there. I'm like, oh, well, that way if they're 4 hours late, it's actually I'll be on time.
True. Yeah, sure. I mean, I haven't stayed at a Disney resort in a while. Last time it was a couple months ago, but.
Oh, yeah, it's been forever. It's been a couple months. Oh, my goodness.
Well, when you stay at your brother's most of the time, like, wait, when was that last day? And when?
All right. Well, don't forget these and other great apps are available over at virtualmickey.com. Turn that Apple device into a Disney device right now. Again, virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. We've got an awesome Facebook group where you can see all of the 12-hour live show broadcasts right there today at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, we love ratings and reviews over on iTunes. Actually, it's called Apple Podcasts now. And also Stitcher, drop by and do that this week. We'd appreciate that so much. All right, so for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon. Ooh, I almost hit the stop recording, the stop playing button.
I almost
turned this off, but it. All right, so there's that show, so that's good. Hey, we got a show done. That was pretty fun.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.